God's hand is guiding everything that happens. There's nothing that happens that takes God by surprise. He's in the midst of it. He's going to use the season of fire. He's going to use the season of water to help bring about his plans and purposes in our life. And that should really give us a sense of his peace.
Jason, we want to attach our faith to a better year, a better season. And seasons come, seasons go. God's always with us in everything. But help our audience do what you do, Jason. I want you to just do what you do. Encourage, set the stage, kind of get us started here in aligning with God-appointed times.
Yeah, I think there's this kind of two aspects to this alignment. There is a general alignment of understanding the biblical times and seasons. And the aspect of biblical times and seasons is this idea of the Hebrew word for seasons in the Bible is actually the biblical holidays. Okay. And so there's an aspect of understanding the biblical holidays. And I think that by understanding the biblical holidays, the significance of that is that these biblical holidays are not just past remembrances, they're meant to be present activations. Okay. So what God did in that time and past season for the great men and women of faith throughout history, he wants to do again in our life. So understanding the biblical holidays are not mere remembrances, they're meant to be reoccurrences in our life. And we'll get into that. And then there's also the seasons, which is what God is doing uniquely in this time and season, this year, this month, this day in particular, right?
What does the 80s in the Hebrew calendar mean?
Yeah, very significant number in the Bible. So what we have to understand is that Hebrew is alphanumeric. So in the Bible, there are no numbers, I mean Roman numeral numbers. You write those with letters. And so the letter that represents 80 in Hebrew is the letter Pei. And Pei means a number of different things. It literally means the mouth. So this is the decade of the mouth.
Wow.
So it pays to have a big Pei.
Does it?
In this season.
You're going to have to convince me of that.
Well, in a good way, in a good way.
Because there's a lot of big mouths
Right. Well, not a big mouth in a negative way, but in the positive way, in the sense that...
Influence,
but that God creates the world through speech, right? So the power of the pay is the power of the mouth, right?
Or the declaration.
The power of the declaration is the power of speaking truth. Yeah. It's the power of proclaiming the promises of God, which we can get into more in a moment, right? But it all has to do with breakthrough and coming out of Egypt. So when you think about the Jewish people in Egypt and in slavery, everything is connected to the letter Pei, right? Who is the evil man that enslaved the Jewish people? He's called what? The king of Egypt is called the Pharaoh, right? His begins with the letter Pei, right? Passover begins with the letter Pei.
Yeah.
The word for
first
redemption.
First of all, Jason, we were told that there would be no tests.
You had all the answers. I thought you were asking.
I try to lob you an easy one there.
Wow.
Yeah,
I hated school, by the way. So just
sorry.
Easy.
Were you talking to us?
Wait, is there someone back there?
Hey, I love it. We're having a good time, right? So Pharaoh begins with the letter Pei. Passover begins with the letter Pei. Redemption in Hebrew, Padah, begins with the letter Pei. Think about it for a moment. Moses was 80 years old when God came to him and spoke to him in the burning bush and said, lead my people out of Egypt. So redemption, Moses is real stepping into his calling, Pei, 80 years old. Mm. So Moses, God says, Moses, 80 years old, go. And Moses doesn't want to go because why? He says, I'm what?
80.
I'm 80, but he has what problem? His mouth.
Ooh.
I'm heavy, the Pei. He says he's 80 years old, which is the Pei. So God says, go use your Pei. And Moses is like, I don't want to use my Pei, right? So it all connects. And then he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this connects to even with coronavirus.
Wow.
Because think about it for a moment. In the decade of the pay, in the decade of the mouth, what has the enemy tried to do? He's tried to muzzle us.
Yeah.
It's first put a mask over our mouths, right? Churches and congregations can't meet. You can't worship, right? Which is the whole coming out of Egypt, let my people go that they might worship me. Well, now we can't get together in worship in the decade of the pay, the coming out of Egypt. And then you have literally the coronavirus attacks the lungs, the coughing, the tube, if it's serious enough that you can't speak, they have to intubate you, right? And then on top of that, then you wind up with cancel culture, which is literally trying to cancel out people's voices so that in the decade of the pay, they don't have a voice.
Okay, so far, I'm a little bit caught off guard. I thought I knew exactly where we were headed with this, but this is super interesting. Mm-hmm. 5780, it was basically matching to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what the numeric description of 5780 in the decade of, was manifest on Earth.
Yeah.
In a very unique way. We're getting that. So if somebody just tuned in, is just getting with us and just getting started, 5782 means?
It's the year of peace and wholeness. In Hebrew, shalom and shlemut.
Okay, but we're still in the decade of the 80s, which
yes.
means something in the
right.
Hebrew calendar. And the second year, or going into the second year of that decade, peace. And you said it even tracked to the Aaronic blessing?
Yes.
Okay, how?
Yes, so the overall theme of the decade is coming out of Egypt, of breaking through, and the idea of Egypt, and even this idea of the mouth, and Moses not wanting to use his mouth, is Egypt in Hebrew literally means a place of confinement or restrictions.
Good.
There's things that want to confine us and restrict us, and this is the decade to break through those either self-limitations like Moses put on himself, I'm old, my mouth doesn't work, there's self-limitations, there's the...
I don't have enough education, whatever
I'm
your
not beautiful enough,
is.
I'm not smart enough, I'm not whatever. There's those self-limitations that we put on ourselves, those inner voices, right, that tell us we're not good enough or don't measure up. Mm-hmm. Then there's also there's the inner pharaohs, right? And then there's the outer pharaohs, the outer forces that try and limit us, confine us, box us in, beat us down from becoming the person God has created to be and to do the mission and the calling that God has created us to be able to do, right? So that's the overall theme of the decade. But this particular year of the decade, in order to experience that coming out and breaking through in limitations, we have to have the shalom, the peace of God, and the wholeness in our life to be able to step out of, come out of Egypt. Mm. And literally, like one of the in Jewish thought, the ultimate blessing is the blessing of peace, the blessing of shalom. If you have every blessing but don't have peace, you don't have really anything, right?
Right.
And one of the places we see this is this idea of God commands Aaron to say this blessing over the people. It's known as the Aaronic benediction. The last expression in the Aaronic benediction, may he cause his face to shine upon you, v'yasem lecha shalom in Hebrew, equals 782, as in the year 5782.
People need some hope. People need peace. And you know, Jason, we always hear about your breakthrough and it's coming and we've heard that for decades.
Right.
You know, and I just think we were talking back in the back about how do we know this? Is it just by using your faith that, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and believe in what he says? Give us, say it for me, like you always
okay.
do so good.
Okay,
ready, go.
let's do it this way. How do we get our audience to believe that these numbers are not random, that they really do connect, that these the Hebrew calendar matching to our present day circumstances in January of 2022 really means something. Help us get our head around that in a way that we attach our faith to it.
Yeah, so obviously, I think there's this kind of this verse in scripture that says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of the King to seek these things out. In Messiah, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus, we are royalty. And part of our royal calling is to search out the scriptures, to search out the hidden things, and to kind of make these connections. And that's why all sorts of people are praying, like, God, show me, what does this year mean? What is the spiritual significance of this new season? What is the spiritual significance of this decade? And one way God speaks to me and through many Jewish people is through numbers, right? And which makes sense in a sense because we live in a mathematical universe, okay, right? So if we live in a mathematical universe, numbers should matter. And numbers are important in the Bible. And especially when you see these numbers and numerical patterns that connect in a very significant and a very real way, you have to, it can't be just random. It's kind of like looking at the creation and thinking there's no God, right? There's no way that something could be that intimate, something that could be that connected and put together, and somehow that is there all randomly. And so I think there is something biblically significant about the numbers. There's a long Jewish tradition of understanding the connection between words and concept numerically, which goes back to the Bible, right? Which goes back to the book of Revelation. The mark of the beast is 666, for example. Or why did Jesus rise from the dead on the third day? Or why were there six stone pots at the wedding of Cana of Galilee? There's a number of different numbers.
Why are there six stone pots, by the way? That's a good one.
He's a machine.
Well, the reason why there's six stone pots is because six is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. Mm-hmm. And in Jewish thought, we fell on the sixth day. And as a result of that, lost six things. And six is the number of connection in Hebrew. That's the important thing. We're talking about numbers and letters. Six in Hebrew is the number of connection. Well, when we sinned in the beginning, we broke the connection between heaven and earth. Literally, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in Hebrew, there's seven words. The sixth word begins with the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet that has a numerical value of six, and it's the word and. God created the heavens and earth. So the letter six, the number vav, is a letter that connects heaven and earth. When we sinned, we broke the connection between heaven and earth. When Jesus dies, he dies on Good Friday. Well, in the Hebrew, well, on our calendars, Friday is the sixth day of the week. Saturday is the seventh day of the week. So Jesus died on the sixth day, which connects the number of connection, the number that connects heaven and earth, to restore what we lost and broke in the beginning.
You are a machine. Okay. You're a machine. You're not human. You're a machine. Okay. The aha moment for me so far is 2020 aligned with the beginning of this 780s in the Hebrew calendar. You said something about the five gets dropped off. For what reason?
Yeah, it's the millennium. So a lot of times it's just looked at either 782 or 82. There's different ways to look at it, but usually, yeah.
So 782, peace.
The Lord give you peace.
Okay. Uh-huh. 780 is confinement and muzzling, as it were. Yeah. We saw that happen. So how do we go from a season that everyone thinks is the worst since the Great World Wars, these two last years, and adopt this peace? How do we get our head around that?
Yeah, I think it's so significant. And I think part of what we have to understand in this is that in the word Shalom itself, it's made up of three Hebrew letters, right? And the word Shalom begins with the letter Shin, and Shin in Hebrew represents fire, okay? The middle letter of the word Shalom or Shalem, which is the root word, means Lamed, which means to learn. And the last letter is the letter Mem, which means water. So fire and water, and the L in the middle, which means learning. Okay, part of finding shalom is learning to see God in the opposites. Learning to see God in the fire seasons, yeah. Learning to see God in the water seasons. And it's even in the word itself, because when you go to Israel, okay, and you greet someone, you say,
shalom.
Shalom. And when you leave, you say,
shalom.
So how can the same word mean hello and goodbye?
Right.
Right? What it's saying is that there's a connection between going and coming, and that God is in all of our goings and comings. Mm. He is in the fire, he is in the water, and when we learn to see God in the midst of it all, it gives us a sense of shalom, because we know that ultimately God is in control of everything that happens. He is in the detail. And here's an interesting thing. 22 in Hebrew, as in 2022, the year that we're going into on the Gregorian calendar, 22 is the numerical value of the Hebrew word in his hand.
My goodness.
Because everything is in his hand.
Yeah.
And that's part of finding shalom, is knowing God's hand is guiding everything that happens. There's nothing that happens that takes God by surprise. He's in the midst of it. He's going to use the season of fire. He's going to use the season of water to help bring about his plans and purposes in our life. And that should really give us a sense of his peace.
Wow.
Okay. The idea or the understanding is a little foreign to us, regular, you know, American church folk. We grew up kind of in the Assemblies of God stream of church here. And if you would give us just a beginner's course in the way that the letters and the numbers are the same, just do a little bit of a quick study on that, so that we can then start connecting with these seasons and times that I know when you're teaching this on TBN, people are loving it.
Right.
We know by a whole bunch of different ways, including ratings, that when you're talking about this, it's really, but there could be some that are just getting, beginner.
Yeah, and I want to preface it by saying this. There's no Roman numerals in the Bible. So for example, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Aleph. So Aleph is the first letter, it equals one. The second letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Bet, it equals two. The third letter is Gimel, it equals three. And that goes to 10, right? The 10 is the letter Yud. And that's the smallest letter of the Hebrew Bible. It's also the first letter of Jesus's name. So it's and of Yahweh or Yeshua or the Lord, right? So that's there's a lot there that his divine name begins with the smallest letter, right? And then it goes in increments of 10. Then it goes the next 10 letters. Then it goes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And then it goes to hundreds up to 400 with the letter Tav. The last letter of the Hebrew alphabet equals 400. And it's the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
And when you talk about the calendar matching, let's say, the Gregorian calendar and the Hebrew calendar, we have seen significant things that the decade of the 5780 began in 2020.
Right.
Okay? And it meant muzzling, it meant restriction, it meant bondage in some ways. 2022 is matching to 782.
Right.
And we are talking about the goodness of this shalom peace.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because, again, shalom is tied to the year 5782, and the numerical value of the word good in Hebrew, or the good, equals 22, as in 2022.
Okay.
Right?
So we can put our faith to the good.
What did 21 mean?
Something good is going to happen today.
I'm still trying to figure out what 21 was.
Yeah, I hear you.
What the heck?
I think we're all wondering. But I think this ties in with what we're talking about in aligning with God's appointed time.
Okay.
Because there's this goodness that ties in, that really is meant in the shalom, that's meant to lead to hope, right? Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that there's in Leviticus 23, seven biblical holidays. There's three spring holidays and there's three fall holidays. The important thing with that is that every major event in the life of Jesus happened on a biblical holiday. So you can't fully understand the Gospels, the life of Jesus, without understanding the biblical holidays. Mm. He died as the Passover lamb. He rose on the biblical holiday of first fruits. That's why Paul calls him the first fruits from among the dead. He poured out his spirit on Pentecost, which is actually an Old Testament holiday that's fulfilled in the New Testament. And then you have this kind of summer months in which there's no holidays. That's the season we've been in between the first and second coming. We've been in this summer season waiting for the coming of the Lord, which will lead to the fulfillment of these three fall holidays, the first of which is when the new year begins, which is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, or the Feast of Trumpets. And the interesting thing about that, the main thing you do on the Feast of Trumpets is the blowing of the shofar, okay? And really the blowing of the shofar is meant to be the sound of hope. Mm. And the sound of hope, because the idea of the sounding of the shofar is connected to hope in a number of different ways, right? I like to define hope as that your future is going to be better than your past.
Amen. Beautiful.
Right? That's what God's promise is. Our future is going to be better than our past. Well, think about it for a moment. The word shofar, the ram's horn, begins with the letter shin, okay? The word new year in Hebrew, shana, year in Hebrew, begins with the letter shin. And actually the word for year in Hebrew, the word shana, comes from the Hebrew word shenui, which means to change. Right, so the word year is connected to the word for change. And we know this intuitively, right? Because every new year we make what?
Resolutions.
Because we want things to what?
Go better.
And change.
Yeah, yeah. Cool it on the test here.
Remember why?
Right?
No test. Okay.
All right.
So love this though.
Yeah, so we know something intuitively that in Hebrew, the word change and year are connected in the very name of the biblical holiday. And we know this intuitively because we know when we come into a new year, we make these resolutions of things we want to change in our life.
Okay, so that's the DNA of God in us,
right?
That we all want to make New Year's resolutions. Yeah. We don't even know where that comes from.
That's right. But it's in the DNA of
it's
the Hebrew.
It's imprinted in
the
this
word
Hebrew.
Year, in the Hebrew, in the word year
goodness.
Itself, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Aligning with God's appointed times for a new year is a DNA imprint that exactly. We don't know where it came from, but it is one of the examples of something that we need to push into.
Absolutely. I think that is part of the significance of when we align with God's appointed times and season, there is a flow of wisdom and of blessing into our lives when we understand the biblical holidays, God's appointed times, the significance of the particular year in which we're entering into, right? And so when you think, and biblically think about this idea of hope, change, year, and the new year begins with the sounding of the shofar, because what's the ultimate hope? What's the ultimate change? It says the Lord himself will descend with the sound of the trumpet, right? But trumpet is not just like a silver trumpet. Literally, biblically, the trumpet is the ram's horn. So Messiah is coming back with the sound of the ram's horn, which is the sound of hope, which is the sound of change. And when the Lord returns, we're all going to be what? In the blink of an eye, we're going to be changed, transformed. And we call that, right, the blessed hope. So the ultimate hope, the ultimate transformation, which is connected to the sounding of the shofar, which is connected to the Hebrew, it ties to the resurrection and the return of the Lord and ultimately the fulfillment of Rosh Hashanah. There's a prophetic significance to every holiday. The prophetic significance is that we will see the Lord face to face. He will regather us and will be completely transformed.
The term preview to coming attraction.
Yes.
So every time you feel like doing a New Year's resolution and, you know, exercising more, doing whatever your thing is really a preview to a coming attraction that imprinted in our DNA, we're sensing and are wanting to feel the hope of change, which is ultimately the second coming.
Absolutely.
What a gift.
My goodness.
Absolutely.
That's how imprinted God is in us.
Hope is in our DNA.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
We are sitting with Jason Sobel. By the way, Jason, one of the things you do like on the side, you know, you write books that are New York Times bestsellers, but on the side, you do this little thing called The Chosen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of a part of something that is a phenomenon. Okay. This Chosen series might end up being one of the most viewed things in the history of the world when it comes to anything faith-based. And
right. So
part of your duties are your priestly duties in that regard are kind of helping Dallas Jenkins and the team do all the Chosen things, and you do the Bible teaching series for TBN. And anyway, let's see if I have what you have said so far. Basically, what you've declared is the Lord's coming back next year, right?
22 reasons, no. No, absolutely not.
Oh, darn it. I thought
good
that's
try.
What, yeah.
He did not say that.
Hot heresy.
I felt like that's what
first.
I heard you say. Okay.
He wished he would have said.
Okay.
We can pray and hope.
Yeah, right. Beautiful. Let's go deeper now into the book.
Yeah.
And with all of this being kind of the setup to what people should read this book for. Do me a little bit of a what is in the book for our viewers. What do you want them to receive out of, you know, you've given us this kind of really great wide shot of all of the things that we've discussed so far. What's going deeper into this
book? And there's not a lot of the numbers in the book, except for a special TBN edition. We will have a little bit in the front of the book for y'all. But what it's really wanting to do is kind of this, right? I'll never forget when I was a kid, every year we take a road trip to Florida. And I'd love to stop and get these little, right, this is before you had cell phones and computers in the car, right? So that didn't exist. And I'd get these little books, and in the books, they'd have the connect the dots. And I'd love to do the connect the dots. And there was something really just a great aha moment, the satisfaction of when the dots all connected and you saw what the picture actually was. Well, I want to connect the dots for people.
Okay.
And I believe that when the dots are connected, we see the Bible in a way that comes to life, high definition, and Jesus in a way that we haven't seen him before. Because like we said, every major event in his life happened on a biblical holiday. You can't understand the Gospels fully and see how it all connects without understanding these biblical holidays. But then there's also an aspect of when you understand what these holidays mean and you come into alignment, because they're not just meant to be remembrances, but reoccurrences, God begins to spiritually and prophetically do in your life what he did on these days and times long ago, right? So there's also a how-to aspect of the book. There's what it means historically, what it means spiritually, biblically, how it's fulfilled in Jesus, how it's going to be fulfilled when he returns. But there's also an aspect of how do I do this, incorporate with this with my family, if you want to, because this is part of your inheritance as a follower of Jesus who did all these things.
You think that's been lost? On the church in general?
Yeah.
I mean, I just looked down and pressing in for another Pentecost.
Yeah.
I mean, is that taught in our churches today?
You're going to have to explain that, Sister Crouch.
That's a test.
Jason, can you explain what we're talking about here with apostolic power pressing in for another Pentecost?
Yeah, so when you think about, it's the third spring holiday. So he dies as the Passover lamb. He rises from the dead on first fruits. And then 50 days later, after his resurrection, there's Pentecost, right? So what we have to understand is from a biblical perspective, Pentecost is the day that in the Old Testament that God comes down on Mount Sinai and he speaks the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. So the Torah, the Word of God, was given on this day in the Old. In the New Testament, this is the day when God pours out his Spirit supernaturally on the believers and empowers them to proclaim the good news and to do these great signs to confirm the gospel message. So it's significant that Word and Spirit come on the same day. Why? Because how did God create the world? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. God spoke. And so Word and Spirit created the world. Word and Spirit have to come on the same day because that brings about new creation, transformation, and power in our life. So Pentecost is about this new creation, transformation, and power. That's why Word and Spirit comes on the same day. Think about it for a moment. Peter, 50 days earlier, denied the Lord, and the disciples were hiding out of fear in the upper room. Then the Spirit of God comes on them, and they are boldly proclaiming the good news throughout Jerusalem, and a great revival occurs. 3,000 in one day believe. And what God did for them, he wants to do for us. Mm. We need to press in into the Word and seek God for his Spirit to be poured out on us so that we can be empowered to be bold for him.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So there is several takeaways for me on this broadcast, but one of them is that the Jewish feasts is one way to say it. You were saying the Jewish holidays, right? Or the Jewish, what other
times?
Okay.
Literally, biblically, they're called the appointed times.
The appointed times are meant to be reoccurring in our lives, and without the understanding of this, we are living beneath where we could be.
Yeah.
Just missing it.
Yeah, we're missing it. God wants to reactivate that in our lives. And there's both a supernatural, prophetic aspect to that, but there's also just a very practical aspect to it. Of course, all of these, again, if you read the book, you're going to see why Jesus does all these things on these biblical holidays. Like, why does he declare he's the living water on the Feast of Tabernacles, right? If you don't understand what the Feast of Tabernacles, why does the Holy Spirit come as tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2 in the wind? Well, it's a recreation of Mount Sinai. In the book, we talk about how all these things connect and why these signs would have been significant. God is in the detail. None of these things are random. But there's also something very practical for us. The first chapter in the book is on the Shabbat, the Sabbath. And look, one of the things believers have lost is the importance of Sabbath and the idea of taking a time not just to rest in him, but the Sabbath begins every Friday night with a dinner. And at that dinner, it's centered around creating shalom in the home. Well, we need shalom in our home more than ever. Well, how do, from a biblical perspective, like in one of the episodes of The Chosen, there's Jesus and the disciples are celebrating the Sabbath, right? Well, how do you create shalom in the home according to the Bible and the Sabbath? Well, it's through honor and blessing. At the Sabbath meal, the parents bless the children. The children bless the parents. The husband blesses the wife. And there's this whole series of blessing on the Sabbath. And when you think about the significance of that, how did God, because Shabbat celebrates in part God creating the world in 6 days and resting on the Sabbath. It celebrates the goodness of God's creation. Well, how did God create the world? As we spoke about earlier, God spoke. It's the pay. Why is that important? Our words create worlds. by speaking life and blessing regularly over every member of your family, you transform their world. You transform their identity.
Beautiful.
You change their destiny. There's so many negative words that we're getting bombarded with all the time. Imagine if we came in the opposite spirit and we showed our family, we showed our kids, this is what it's like to bless the woman of the house, your mom. This is what it's like for a man, a husband, to be blessed by his wife. How would our children's identity and lives be changed if regularly we took time to bless them in front of our family and friends? There are practical things here that will revolutionize our family and bring shalom in the home, which is this year, the year of shalom and wholeness.
Wow. Aligning with God's appointed times, it feels like the deeper you get into this subject, the more important it feels, okay? Why don't you just go ahead and crank it up a notch and give us more of what's inside this book for this month? And in hindsight, it's amazing because of the 2 years of pandemic mess that we feel like the world's in. And in some ways, it's still there. But let's hook our hope and our faith into the fact that we're coming out of that season. And whether the world comes out of it or not, let's go into the peace that is ours for this year.
Absolutely. Again, tying this all together. The next holiday that is on the calendar is the holiday of Purim, right? Not that far from now. And that's the book of Esther. So we remember what God did when he saved the Mordecai and Esther saved the children of Israel, the Jewish people, from the evil plan of Haman, right? And a lot of people miss the really deeper significance and how important this is for the time in which we live right now, right? So one of the things is that the book of Esther almost didn't make it into the Bible.
Wow.
And the reason why it almost didn't make it into the Bible is God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. So it's like, how do you put a book in the Bible that doesn't even mention God's name in it? Well, that's the whole point of the story. See, what people don't get is that in the story of the book of Esther, the bad guy is Haman. Well, if you don't understand Haman's ancestry, you don't understand what's going on. Haman is a descendant of this evil king by the name of Amalek.
Agag.
He's connected to Agag, who is...
Did I just win a biblical thing
good.
With you?
No, you're good. You're good. Hey, you got it.
I'd like this to appear on
calendars.
Some kind of some kind of spot that runs a lot, okay? Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So it goes back to this question of why does Haman want to kill the entire Jewish people because one person won't bow down? One Jew won't bow down to him. So he wants to kill everyone? I mean, that's kind of crazy.
A little bit extreme.
A little bit extreme. But if you understand that King Saul was commanded to kill King Agag and all of the Amalekites.
I think the biblical term is leave none breathing.
right? And he didn't. And part of the reason why God commanded them that to be done is because Amalek, King Amalek, was the first person to attack the children of Israel when they left Egypt. And he's known from a Jewish perspective as the first atheist in the Bible.
Oh my goodness.
So think about it for a moment. Atheists believe everything happens by what? Time and chance.
Oh my goodness.
So when Haman decides the day he's going to destroy the Jews, what does he do? He casts lots, which is where we get the name Purim from, because the means to destroy the Jewish people is his worldview. He's trying to show there's no God, everything is random, everything happens by chance, there's no higher power that's in control, and now I'm going to prove it by these casting of lots and the destroying of the Jewish people. And so the reason why God's name is not mentioned in the book is that God wants us to see that he's always in control, that there's nothing random. That's the whole point of the book, right?
Yeah.
It just so happens that the king's wife wouldn't dance, so he gets rid of her. And it just so happens that of all the women that he chooses from, he could have married in Persia, she just happened to be Jewish. And it happens to be Queen Esther, happens to be Esther, who's a descendant of Mordecai, who sits at the gate. And Mordecai just happened to uncover the plot to save the king. And the king doesn't do anything to honor him. And one night he can't sleep. And they just happen to read that place in the Chronicles of the King that Mordecai had saved his life. And he realized he did nothing to honor him. And at that moment, he's deciding what to do. Haman walks in. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah. Right.
Right, this is the whole point of the book of Esther. And the book of Esther is about the hidden hand of God that's working behind the scenes in history. You can't see it, but God wants you to know it's there to teach us the lesson. When you can't see the hand of God, trust the heart of God.
So this book will help you discover the prophetic and the spiritual meaning of the biblical holidays. So all of what he's saying is in here. And just a little bit of reading and study, I think, sounds like it'll change your life.
The holidays are not remembrances, they're occurrences.
Reoccurrences and reactivations.
Reactivations.
And reoccurrences.
First of all, pray with our audience that we have faith to believe in this shalom peace that we're talking about, first
Absolutely.
Of all, okay? Let's do that. And if you would, do a little bit of a kind of reintroduction, if somebody just tuned in, and do a little bit of a piece at the, like we did at the beginning, kind of an opening piece, and then pray for the audience and in the last few minutes here of the broadcast.
Yeah, I will. And I just want to say, just again, I think it's so important for Christians to not settle for half an inheritance. Mm-hmm. There is a full inheritance that the Lord has for you. And part of that inheritance is found in understanding God's appointed times and to see Jesus more clearly, the Last Supper, its connection to Passover, but to also understand what this means for you and your family and how you can bring these holidays that Jesus celebrated with and his disciples celebrated to your family and friends. It will change and revolutionize you and your family on many different levels. And with that being said, as we are just entering into this new year of 2022 on the Hebrew calendar, 5782, this is a year of shalom.
Thank you, Lord.
Of peace and shleimut, of wholeness. And I just want to encourage you in that because God wants to bring wholeness out of your brokenness. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you whole. He wants to give you his peace that surpasses all understanding, a shalom not as the world gives, not an external peace, but an internal inner peace that surpasses all understanding for your life. This is a season that God wants to bring you out of Egypt. He doesn't want you to be confined. He doesn't want you to be restricted. He doesn't want you to box yourself in. He doesn't want you to beat yourself down. You are not called to be your own worst taskmaster. You cannot accept the taskmasters of other people in your life just constantly berating you. This is a season where God wants to set you free from all of that, to bring you out of the box, out of Egypt and into that place of shalom and wholeness in him, because he also has hope for you. 2022 is the letter of hope, the Hebrew letter Tav. Jesus, I am the Aleph, the beginning and the end, the Tav, and the Tav is the seal of peace and of truth. And so I just declare shalom over you right now, nothing missing, nothing broken. And I declare hope over you. Your future is going to be better than your past. God's hand is guiding and providing for you. And you are going to be have a new hope birth in your heart in the name of Yeshua Jesus, who is the ultimate hope. And I just speak this Hebrew blessing
you,
over
Lord.
You right now. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmorecho. Ya'er Adonai panave lecha vikunecho. Yisa Adonai panave lecho. Vayasem lecho. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In the name of Sar Shalom, Yeshua Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Jeez. That was beautiful.
Beautiful.
I didn't know you could sing.
Beautiful.
Jason, what is your final thought on aligning with God's appointed time? What are you leaving us with? What's the thought that you're leaving us with? And in essence, what this book is going to mean to our audience?
I think in order to understand where we're headed, we have to understand the foundation of where we've been. And to be able to look at Jesus and the disciples, the gospel, in light of these biblical holidays, and then to understand how they apply to our lives and how we can make them a part of who we are and what we do brings change, it brings hope, it brings transformation, it brings blessing, and it makes pursuing God fun in a very real and very tangible way. And I know, like, people who come to our holiday events, they never walk away the same. Yeah. When your eyes are open and you begin to see the Bible and you begin to see Jesus through this perspective, and then you begin to see your life through this lens of the appointed times and seasons as well, nothing is ever the same.